Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to be reading this morning from an old book entitled Soul Murder. Soul Murder, The Effects of Childhood Abuse and Deprivation. The author of this particular book is Leonard Shingold, M.D. I wanted to read to you from this book this morning because this book elucidates in a very poignant and powerful manner the results of seduction. That is what evil does to the soul of an individual who bears too much. It is the all too muchness that overwhelms the soul of the one who has been abused. And so therefore, we have the title, Soul Murder. And the author gives a very powerful introduction to this topic. And he himself is a psychiatrist. And so they are very detailed accounts of what is involved in soul murder. And I think it is also equally important to understand that within the Word of God, we have narrative events that do not specifically elucidate soul murder, but we see the results in certain case studies within the scriptures of what life has brought into the lives of certain individuals and what the Word of God able to do with that life that had been ruined and traumatized by others. Also, there the scripture deals with what we have done to ourselves as a result of being wounded ones. Now, unfortunately, the reaction that traumatized persons have to trauma is to go out and further traumatize themselves with their own behavior, with their own actions. And so because of the trauma within that life, there is a tendency towards self-rejection that begins, that has its origin in self-hate. The Word of God comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, specifically for these realities. And please understand what I'm saying. Those areas where you and I cannot go, the Word of God can go. The Word of God can reach the sensitive soul, and the Word of God can reach the soul, can heal the soul, bring wholeness and restore purpose and wellness to the soul that struggles with self-rejection and therefore self-acceptance. And the abused one, he or she, may go into all types of behavior to show that they are on board with their own self-rejection. And it is oftentimes very difficult to get these individuals who have been so traumatized in this way, and here I'm specifically speaking about sexual abuse, I'm speaking about also rape and incest, to believe that they can be whole, that they can be loved, that there are those who could and would love them. They have a mental stigma. They have a wall that they need to overcome. And so let me say at this point that this type of the abuse that I'm speaking of is an attack upon the Imago Dei. In other words, it is a direct attack upon the image of God within the heart of an individual. It's this type of abuse shatters self-image. It shatters the cardia. It shatters the heart of a person. Hence, in Luke chapter 4, in his first public message, Jesus states that he has come in order to heal those who are shattered in their hearts. Shattered heart is where the Word of God brings healing and hope and love. That image that had been marred and ruined because an individual has been sinned against in a heinous manner. And the individual may have been become privy to an unspeakable secret. He or she was told by the abuser never to tell or not to tell because the family would be destroyed. And hence, this individual has been vouchsafed to keep a malignant and evil secret. And so the individual is made to sacrifice himself or herself for the family. Notice what is going on here. Notice the secret triangulation. And please understand the depth of soul murder and what is involved. There is a sacrifice, and the abused one is the sacrifice. And the abused one comes to believe that he or she must remain the sacrificial victim, as it were, for the continuity of the family. Love is used against this individual, and this individual is held hostage by this unspeakable secret, by this terrible lie. There's another wonderful book that I would invite you to read by Scott Peck called The People of the Lie. And the Word of God deals with the people of the lie. And so this show is for those who struggle with self-rejection, and also for those individuals who love those who are struggling or who struggle with self-rejection. Because persons who struggle with self-rejection due to childhood sexual abuse victimize oftentimes those who are the most closest to them, such as a spouse. And so the spouse has to know how to have boundaries in place, because this can become very painful. I spoke to an individual long ago who wrote a book that talked about that dealt with childhood sexual abuse, and it dealt with his wife's own abuse. And his book dealt with ghosts from the past. And so I tracked down the author, and I spoke with him on the phone, and he talked about the struggle that he and his wife had. But I also noted that in my own research and in my own book called Naming the Incubus, in which I deal with childhood sexual abuse from a biblical and theological perspective. Naming the Incubus can be purchased at Amazon, at amazon.com. And my research reveals some very disturbing things to me about this world. And I found that in my research that this is not a hit or miss. This is a vast secret world. And the individuals who are engaged in this particular type of behavior are demonically enslaved, and they prey upon those whom they target for their specific behavior. It is a very dangerous and heinous world. I want, first of all, to read to you from chapter one of Soul Murder. And this chapter is entitled Aspects of Soul Murder. Quote, according to Scherber, in Soul Murder, the victim's identity, including the sexual identity, is lost. Schreiber writes about the violation as well as the murder of souls. The sexual meaning of soul murder for Schreiber is apparent from the breaks in the text of the memoirs made by the original publishers, who eliminated first the passage and then the better part of the third chapter describing soul murder. Of the deleted section, Schreiber writes, the content of chapters 1 and 2 was a necessary preliminary to what follows. What could so far only partially be put up as axiomatic will now be proved as far as at all possible. The entire remaining portion of the crucial chapter 3 follows. I will first consider some events concerning other members of my family, which may possibly in some way be related to the presumed soul murder. These are all more or less mysterious and can hardly be explained in the light of usual experience. The deletion is then announced by the publisher's notice. The further content of this chapter is omitted as unfit for publication. This is on page 61. The censorship, pages 58 and 61, undoubtedly occurred because the soul murder was sexual, and from which Scherber underlines apparently incestuous. But some specific sexual implications were left in. Freud points out the connections in the text between Scherber's accusations of soul murder and of forced masturbation and homosexuality. Scherber himself writes, a plot was laid against me, the purpose of which was to hand me over to another human being in such a way that my soul was handed over to him, but my body transformed into a female body and left to that human being for sexual misuse. All attempts at committing soul murder, at unmanning me, note the language, for purposes contrary to the order of the world, that is to say, for the sexual satisfaction of a human being, and later at the destruction of my reason, have failed. Pages 75, 58. Here, intimations of castration and homosexuality were coupled with an assault on Schreiber's reason. This attack on the power of rational thought is expressed in Schreiber's vagueness about the whole topic. We know from Orwell's 1984 of the confusion and split registration in thinking. Orwell calls it doublethink, that are both the effects of brainwashing and the means by which the torturer's hold is maintained. He called it the Stockholm Syndrome, and that's another aspect of what is being spoken of here. The victim must not be able to reason about what has happened, must not be able to know. Sherwood gives an example of doublethink about soul murder in a footnote to the passage about unmanning quoted above. To his declaration that the attempt at soul murder made against him was evil and contrary to the order of the world, Sherwood adds a completely contradictory statement. His feminization may prove to be in consonance to the order of the world, and may unite him with thought. Unquote. I want to emphasize the ghastly nature of this type of sin, the sin of soul murder, and what happens to individuals who are abused in this very heinous and terrible manner. What I have found in my own experience and in my own counseling is that the Word of God must be primary. The Word of God must be the foundation of such counseling events, because the Word of God not only restores, but the Word of God reinvigorates the individual. And that shattered self-image, that shattered sense of one's being, of one's essence as being corrupt and vile, is removed by the power of the Spirit of God. This is the importance of Genesis chapter 1. And this is why Genesis chapter 1 does not open with an argument for the existence of God. Genesis chapter 1 assumes the existence of Almighty God. And you see that the earth was void and without form, and darkness, koshek, was over the face of the roaring deep. In the Hebrew text, the sense is dynamic, not passive. The darkness that could be felt was over the face of the roaring deep. God speaks to the chaos monster. Embedded within the text is the chaos monster that God overthrows and whom God supplants. God overthrows chaos monster by bringing in order. So we have a divine speech act, or I should say the divine speech act, connected to power. Speech antedates physical creation, as we say. Matter is a standing waveform imposed upon void. Hardness, substance, these are all part of our gross faculty, because the human eye can only receive information at a certain speed. We only perceive 1/1,000,000th of the electromagnetic spectrum. God said, "Light be." Light was. It's the sense of the Hebrew. Light be, light was. And so God is showing in Genesis 1 the theme of the entire of the biblical documents. The theme of who God is. God is the subject. of all the biblical documents. We are the object. We are the object of His grace. We are the objects of His grace. You and I may not have been sinned against so gross and negligent a manner as such as I mean from soul murder. But I'm speaking about this specifically today because I know persons, wonderful dear individuals who will give everything to others, who have been violated in a terrible manner, and who believe in their heart of hearts that they are unacceptable. I want to say to them this morning that you are accepted in Christ Jesus, and God loves you. I know you may have believed that you must live your life in the area of performance, and it is through performance that you are accepted. But you do not have to perform for God. God sees and God knows your heart. God knows your essence. And God speaks to your soul that is troubled. And God says to your soul, peace be still. God comes to live within your heart. He comes to make his home in your heart. And God wants to take away the ruin, the darkness that you believe you are. And you are not, let me say it emphatically, you are not the ruin that was imposed upon you. You are not the cause. And so therefore stop searching in your heart for an answer for such violent evil. And here you are, an adult now, reflecting back upon what happened or events that happened to you when you were young. And you're thinking now with an adult brain, well, why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you do something against this powerful individual? Now you know that this type of abuse is an abuse of power. It always is. Another old book is Sex in the Forbidden Zone, and it speaks about power figures who are manipulators, who are wolves in sheep's clothing, that who are also authority figures that manipulate others to take advantage of them sexually and therefore create in their victims, the hearts of their victims, soul murder. This is why it's important to know the Word of God, and for you who believe you are rejected and can't be loved, let me tell you that God has your tears in his bottle and you can let go. Well, you say, Josiah, it's easy for you to say, but I have built my core identity around a lie. Let me tell you, it is a lie. There are diseases specifically related to the lie. Lies create a physical disease. And I'm telling you that through the power of God, you can live a brand new life. A life that is filled with the love you want, the hope you want, a life that releases you from the bitterness, from the resentment, and from the self-hate. You can go up to a mirror and actually look into a mirror. You can go out and buy clothes and actually go home, take the tag off, or tags, as it were, and look in the mirror to see how wonderful you look. You can feel great, and you can stop wondering what others think of you. You can stop being mousy and part of a group that you don't necessarily like, but you feel powerless and you feel you have to be part of this group, or else if you're not, they will turn their assiduous tongues upon you. God will teach you to walk upright and to walk independent. God will teach you to be whole. God will teach you to live a life of truth. Now, over a process of time, if you are in the Word of God and you are with a person who is competent to teach you and to disciple you, I'm going to use that language, to disciple you in the truth, you will begin to see all of this stuff fall away. You want this stuff to fall away. You want the Word of God to be so powerful in your life that you can confront those lies of the abuser that have been placed as seeds in your life, and not, and the seeds have germinated, the seeds, and that now they're strong plants. But God can, God's Word can uproot those lies. Not really cutting down, but God's Word can uproot those lies and give you hope, give you love, and give you truth. In other words, God can make you brand new. Now this morning, I want you to say to yourself, as you go before God, God, I want to stop believing this lie about me, this lie that has kept me from living. I want you to set me free this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. I want you to go before God, and I want you to say this to God. Father, set me free. One brother called Jesus the bondage breaker. He is the bondage breaker. He will break those bonds, those chains. He will set you free from the lie or lies that have characterized your life. Now you can live a hope that is wonderful. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes these words. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his, the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. I'm going to do another show on soul murder specifically, and I want you to join me because I want you to hear the truth of what God has for you in Christ Jesus. I want you to hear the truth about what God has done for you, what God has given you. I want you to have a new purpose and a new hope. I want you to stop believing the lie and stop believing that you have no power. I want you to believe the truth that God has come in the person of Jesus Christ to give you a brand new life. And guess what happens? Your thoughts will be renewed. Your thoughts will be purposeful. You will begin to see yourself in a new light because of the Holy Spirit of God. You will begin to see and know the truth, and the truth in Jesus will set you free. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you this day.